Chapter 20. Derek works so vigorously that he's actually done a full hour before he needs to leave to pick up Styles. His boss lets him go anyway. "Your cheerfulness is freaking out your coworkers," he says. "Just for that, I'm bringing Styles in later this week to meet everyone," Derek says. Half a threat, half a promise. His boss just waves him off. He decides to run home to take a quick shower before picking Styles up, since he's pretty sweaty and gross after all the work he did. Laura's home with the kids, but nobody else is there, and she lets Derek go with a minimum of teasing. One more quick stop, and he's procured a new phone for himself, so he can give Styles his current one. And Derek's got the Camaro pulled up to the school by the time the last bell rings. This time he has the driver's side closest to the school, but he gets out, closes the door, and waits. He leans against the fender of the car, just in front of the side mirror, and folds his arms over his chest. A few moments later, teenagers are boiling out of the school. Several of them stare at him. Some of the stares are more surreptitious than others. He keeps his eyes on the door and doesn't meet anyone's gaze. Then Styles comes out, and his face splits into a wide grin. He waves vigorously, dramatically even, as he comes down the front steps and literally throws himself into Derek's arms. Derek catches him, of course, and hugs him tight. He does spare enough attention to notice Scott following Styles at a more sedate pace and give him a wave of greeting. "Was it everything you hoped it would be?" he asks Styles. "Dude, I don't even know," Styles says happily. "I spent all day thinking about making out with you in your car. People could have been beating me up, and I wouldn't have even noticed." "It was everything he hoped it would be," Scott offers from nearby, then shakes his head. "You two have fun. I'm going home. Allison is..." He's not even listening. "Nope," Styles agrees, nuzzling into Derek's shoulder and wrapping his legs around Derek's waist so he's entirely off the ground. "Scott," Derek calls after the retreating teenager, and Scott glances over his shoulder. "Thanks for, you know." Scott grins. "Anytime, squirrel guy." Derek mock growls at him. Then he curls one hand underneath Styles' thigh and another around his back, vaguely reflecting that this is becoming a favorite position of theirs, and nuzzles back. After this has gone on for a few moments, he says, "We can't go anywhere if you're clinging like a limpet." Despite his words, he's not making any effort to dislodge Styles. "True," Styles says, mouthing at Derek's ear in a way that does truly amazing things to him. He's about to say something else when a girl walks by, giggles, and says, "Laying it on a little thick, aren't you, Stilinski?" Derek gives a pointed little sniff and judges her with his eyebrows. "If you're going to enjoy the show that much, you should be paying us, sweetie." "Ignore her. She's just mad because her boyfriend's dick is a lot smaller than yours," Styles says, and the girl huffs and stomps off. "Do you regularly survey the local penises for comparison?" Derek asks. "No, and I haven't even seen yours yet, but that's the hot rumor today." Styles gets tired of hanging off the ground and drops his legs back down. "I suspect that Peter's involved somehow, but how he knows what her boyfriend's dick is like, I don't want to know." Most likely for the best, Peter did seem pretty gleeful about things. Derek lets Styles slide down into a standing position, but doesn't let him pull back at all. "Oh, and I have a new history teacher?" Styles frowns slightly. "I'm pretty sure your mother might have literally run my old one out of town." "What did your old one do? I mean, worse than the others?" Derek asks curiously, although he doesn't hold out much hope for an answer. Styles flushes pink and rubs a hand over the back of his head. "Let's just say, there was a stunt that was designed to viciously humiliate me on my birthday, and rather than putting a stop to it, or at the very least trying to curb all the assholes who were in class with me at the time, he just joined in the laughter." Derek kisses his forehead. "Well, leaving town or facing my mother, I know which I'd pick." No shit, right? Hey, I noticed we're not in your car making out yet. What's up with that?
We were having a conversation, Derek replies, amused. I would hope that they'll still happen from time to time.
But he does let Stiles go and moves to get in the car. Stiles hops in the passenger seat and says, Okay, so I know all the good parking spots. Dad used to bring me along on his night rounds for a while. You know, after my mom died and I was too young to leave alone in the house. And sometimes I would have panic attacks or temper tantrums if he tried to leave me at Scott's. Plus, he hated Scott's dick of a father. So he would just spike my juice with NyQuil. Kidding, totally kidding. And load me into the back of his cruiser.
So you want to bring me to all the spots your dad will know to look for us?
Derek sounds dubious at best.
Stiles rolls his eyes.
Geez, do you know nothing about parking? No, nobody will be looking now. It's the middle of the day.
No, I don't know anything about parking.
Derek rolls his eyes at Stiles and then looks at the time.
Exactly how much time do we have?
Before a cop goes out there? About 6 hours. But I really doubt we can make out that long. I mean, without getting past second base. If you know what I'm saying.
Stiles' fingers tap purposefully at his thighs. I see what you're doing there, Derek says, his tone firm and resolute. We'll just have to find something else to do when we get sick of hovering just past second base. Now, directions.
I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to be doing, Stiles says, making a face at him. But fine, be that way. Take Lincoln all the way past 16th. So hey, guess what?
What? Derek asks,
glancing over at him as he pulls onto the road. Jackson's arrested! Stiles gives him a sidelong glance and then adds, Oh, Jackson's the one who beat me up, with the help of his friends.
Derek tries not to smile. It's impossible. Last time we talked about this, you didn't seem to think that was going to happen.
Well, the thing is, Stiles says, propping his foot up on the dash and earning himself a scowl. It was my word against theirs, right? And with Harris to back them up, no one would believe me if I said Jackson started it, blah, blah, blah. And Jackson's dad is the DA, so that sort of complicates matters. But the strangest thing happened today. Jackson's best friend Danny went down to the police station, asked to talk to my dad, and told him everything that happened, completely backing up my version.
Interesting, Derek says. I wonder what brought that on.
Apparently, Stiles says brightly, and this is a direct quote, Peter says I need to make better friends.
Oh, Lord, Derek says, and laughs despite himself. So Uncle Peter persuaded Danny to make a statement?
So it would seem, Stiles says. And since Harris had to swear up and down that he didn't witness the fight, because otherwise your mother would have gotten him fired, reprimanded, and probably gotten his teaching license revoked. He can't back up Jackson's version. So we win. Jackson's being charged with assault and property damage, and when his dad tried to kick up a fuss about it, my dad shut him down cold. Because, see, I had been documenting everything, taking photos, every time I was injured bad enough to bruise.
Stiles darts a glance over at Derek, who's growling softly but not actively protesting.
And keeping a record of what had happened. So my dad threatened to charge Jackson for all the different times he'd beaten me up, and his dad caved because that's a little too much bad publicity even for him, that his son didn't just get in a schoolyard fight, but was actively committing a reign of terror on a poor defenseless geek like me. So they agreed that charging Jackson for the events on Friday seemed reasonable enough. And I think good old D.A. Whittemore is thinking about maybe moving to wherever my history teacher moved to. Not that it matters.
Why doesn't it matter? Derek asks, because Stiles obviously wants to tell him.
Well, Jackson wasn't in school today, Stiles says. My dad called and told me, this is all classified information, by the way, that when he went to arrest Jackson, he was actually underneath his bed. And basically threw himself at my father, saying to please put him in jail where Peter wouldn't be able to get to him.
Derek bursts into laughter. "That sounds like Uncle Peter," he says. "Which way?"
"Left on Old Country Road. So yeah, Jackson probably wouldn't get much more than community service and a heavy fine to pay for damages and such. But I'm thinking that he's not going to cause me a problem ever again. Or anyone else. Particularly not werewolves, because Peter told Jackson he was never to participate in a searching ceremony ever again. Something about, I don't know, polluting a pack with his presence and contaminating the whole process." Stiles' smirk is so wide that it's practically breaking his face. "And I'm pretty sure Jackson is under the impression that if he dares show his face at one, Peter will find him and cause everlasting damage, even if it's 70 years from now and Peter's dead in the ground." "That's what I love about my uncle," Derek says. "He does have a way with people." "Turn right here and drive along the river," Stiles says. "It's about 10 minutes. So yeah, good day." He relaxes against the seat. Good day. Derek leans over and gives him a kiss on the cheek. "Well," he says, "let's see what we can do to make it even better." It occurs to Stiles on the way to school the next morning that he's supposed to be meeting Kate in the library after school, and that he has no idea what to do about it. A large part of him says just to not show up. The show is obviously over. But is it? Kate doesn't attend their school. She might have spies there that feed her information, but she's not going to get the whole picture. Stiles isn't sure whether or not he can keep her in the dark, but he thinks it might be worth a try. He still doesn't know what Kate wants from him, but he has a nagging suspicion that if he puts her off, she'll just try with someone else. If he stays in her confidence, he can find out what she's up to. So he tells Derek he has to stay after school, which is fine because Derek really does have a job that he wants to keep. He did plenty of grocery shopping over the weekend, and as long as he's back to the Hale House by 4 p.m. or so, it's no trouble to make dinner. It occurs to him that lying about this might not be the best idea he's ever had, but he doesn't know how to bring it up to Derek. He has no proof that Kate's up to anything, just his own suspicions. He's afraid that if he goes to someone else, he'll just get shut down. After some internal debate, he decides that if he still doesn't have any proof that she's up to something by the end of the school year, he'll cut off contact with her. It would be next to impossible during the summer anyway. And as soon as he does have proof that she's up to something, he'll take it straight to Derek. Kate shows up after he's been waiting a few minutes, and he spent them in quiet contemplation for the act he's going to have to pull off here. Kate's eyes widen when she sees him, with shock that he's fairly sure is feigned. "Oh, honey, what happened to your face?" Stiles tells her about how the kids at school got rough with him. He acts frustrated, upset, pacing around the library. "Derek wouldn't let me out of his sight after that," he complains, his voice trembling. "I had to spend the entire weekend at their place, and it was really weird and uncomfortable. Then they made me sign this contract." He looks at her helplessly. "I'm doomed now, aren't I? But I didn't know what else to do. Talia was there, and she just kept staring at me. I couldn't say no. She would have torn me apart." "Sweetie, it's okay," Kate says, caressing his cheek. He has to resist the urge to pull away. "I'm sure we can get you out of the contract. You're only a minor." "But my dad signed it too," Stiles says. "He thinks that they'll protect me from the other kids." "Yeah, but when you turn 18, there will be a new contract," Kate says. "That one won't be valid anymore." "Oh," Stiles deflates with fake relief. "Oh, that's good, but now Derek thinks he can do whatever he wants with me. He's all over me, and I'm sort of putting him off, but I don't know how long that'll last." Kate reaches out and takes his hands, giving them a squeeze. "Stiles," she says, tone serious, "there's going to come a point where you're going to have to ask yourself how far you're willing to go for this. I won't lie. He's going to want things from you. It's things that I probably wouldn't be comfortable giving him if I were in your shoes. Those animals, her lip curls, do all sorts of depraved things. Stiles lets his voice hitch and tries very, very hard not to think of the 45-minute makeout session in Derek's Camaro the day before, which had easily been the best 45 minutes of his life to date, even if it had ended with him jerking in the bathroom of a Circle K. I don't know, Kate. I don't want to do this anymore. But we're getting so close, Kate says, her eyes gleaming. They brought you into their pack, Stiles. They let you make their food. They trust you. So what? Stiles asks, frustrated. What am I going to do, poison them all? Of course not, Kate says, but she says it way too fast, and the gleam in her eyes gives her away. Stiles takes an involuntary step back. Oh, come on, Stiles, do you really think I would do that? No, Stiles says, trying to work some conviction into his voice. All I need from you is to know what sort of stuff they're doing, who they talk to, what sort of cases Talia's working on, and the stories that Aaron's following. They talk about that at the dinner table, right? They don't. Not because of trust issues, Stiles doesn't think, but for the same reason his father rarely talks about cases over dinner. He's been at work all day, and he's tired of it. But he has carefully led Kate to believe that they do, because he wants to know what sort of information she's after. So he nods. Yeah, and they're having a big barbecue over the holiday weekend. Some of her clients and stuff are going to be there. Great, Kate says. Just find out anything you can about them, okay? I just don't see how this is going to help me, Stiles says, putting frustration all over his face. And now you're suggesting I let Derek... He gives a fake shudder. I don't want to have to fuck him so he'll trust me. I want... He looks up at her, does his best to give her calf eyes. Oh, sweetie. Kate touches his shoulder, gives it a little rub. I know, but can you do it for me? Stiles swallows and nods. He likes to do stuff in public. I don't want you to think. It's okay, she says, reaching up and running fingers over his cheekbone. I know. I'll know you don't mean it. It's our little secret, okay? Just you and me. He looks up at her with adoring eyes. Okay, he says, breathing shallowly. Then, yes, okay, I'll do it, for you. She smiles at him and then takes off. Stiles goes straight home and has to shower 3 times before he can manage to bring himself to go over to the Hale house. The next weekend is Memorial Day, and Derek's family is hosting a barbecue without the barbecue, Derek tells Stiles. We just do picnic food instead, he says, leaving Stiles somewhat baffled. It's Cora who lets slip that none of the family can really tolerate the scent of grilling meat anymore, and Derek particularly hates it. We can still order it in restaurants and stuff, she says, but the smell of it actually cooking is just, ugh. She gives a little shudder. Plus, none of us like being near an open flame, but things grilled on an electric grill aren't the same, so, yep, sandwiches and potato salad it is. That all seems fair, but kind of sad to Stiles. But Cora tells him not to worry about it. They're used to it. Derek says he should bring his father, and maybe invite a few friends. It's a party. Some of Mom's clients will be there, and Dad's friends from work, etc., he says. Stiles says okay and asks Scott if he and Allison want to come. Scott definitely does. Allison's father throws a predictable fit at the idea of her attending a werewolf barbecue. Allison tells him to take a long walk off a short pier, so he grounds her and tells her she's not allowed to leave her room. Allison climbs out her window and Scott picks her up. Stiles spends the entire morning grilling. He grills ribs and steaks, wraps them in foil, and places them in the oven, which is on its lowest setting of warm. It's not a barbecue without barbecue, he says firmly to Scott,
when he shows up with Allison and asks what he's doing. Scott's mother is there, too, because Tom invited her. Not as a date, he hastily clarified when Stiles asked. Just as a friend. Which is fine with Stiles. He knows his father is lonely now that he's out of the house so much. When they get there, the party is in full swing. It's somewhat cloudy, but otherwise a nice day. It smells like it might rain later. There are at least 50 people gathered in the large clearing that surrounds the Hale house, and Stiles is glad that he had made as much food as he did. His father had asked him twice if he was sure that so much was necessary, and Stiles had said he was erring on the side of caution. Apparently, caution was well prepared. Derek hears him approach, or maybe just senses it, and pounces on him as soon as he exits the Jeep. Their relationship is still so new and shiny to Stiles that he just makes happy little noises in the back of his throat, completely blissed out, as Derek pins him up against the door of the Jeep and rubs his scent all over him. "Hello to you, too," Stiles says, and Derek kisses him. "Good timing. You can help me carry the stuff I brought." "What did you bring?" Derek asks, with a faint frown. "Food, duh," Stiles says. He reaches in the back of the Jeep and brings out a cardboard box filled with foil-wrapped packages. "Should still be warm, if not hot." Derek peeks underneath one of the levels of foil, and his head snaps up. "Barbecue?" "Can't be a barbecue without barbecue, duh," Stiles says, hauling out a second box. "But Cora said that you guys don't really like the smell of the meat grilling, so I just did it all at my house and brought it over. I hope there's enough. I figured there'd be a few outside the pack people here, but I wasn't counting on this many." Derek just stares at him for a minute, then shakes his head a little and says, "You're amazing." "Better believe it," Stiles says, with none of the self-deprecating commentary that would have come with this proclamation a few months earlier. Anything else they might say about the subject is cut off, however, because all the wolves can smell the food, and they're coming over to see what's going on. Cora's eyes light up, and Laura actually gets a little weepy when they see the grilled meat. They quickly set up a few tables so Stiles can get everything laid out. Aaron goes and gets extra plates and napkins and silverware. There are a few hurried introductions, but mostly everyone's anxious to sink their teeth in. "Man, when was the last time you guys even had ribs?" Scott asks, somewhat skeptically, as Cora tears into one of them like the wolf she is. "I don't even remember," she says happily, barbecue sauce dripping down her chin. People are drifting apart with their plates now, and so Stiles winds up sitting in Derek's lap, both of them gnawing on ribs without any hint of self-consciousness. Scott and Allison are sitting next to him, and Cora is perched in the first branch of a tree. Tom and Melissa have gone to chat with Laura and Jonathan. "Still having a hard time at school?" Cora asks with her mouth full. "I'm being shunned now," Stiles says. He doesn't sound bothered at all by this. "Everyone's pretending I don't exist. I think they assume it'll upset me," he gives a shrug. "Frankly, I'm a lot happier with it." "Your school is whack," Cora says. Scott shrugs. "I think they just blow the whole searching ceremony thing out of proportion. I mean, when I was there, you know, I met a few werewolves, I chatted with them, but I wound up spending most of the time talking with Allison. Everyone thought I was crazy." "Why?" Cora asks, frowning. "Well, because it's a day to, you know, try to attract a werewolf mate." "No, it isn't," Cora says. "It's a day to meet any mate. I mean, the whole point of having it on in bulk is what the day symbolizes. New beginnings. Two people who meet on in bulk are supposed to have a blessed relationship. Doesn't matter if they're werewolves or humans or chupacabras." Since everyone besides Derek is just blinking at her, she says, "Here, watch this. Hey, Mom." She waves over at her mother, who's chatting with some of the adult guests. Stiles squirms a little, and Derek can sense his anxiety flaring up. He rubs an absent hand on Stiles' back as Talia glances over and holds up a hand to indicate that she'll be over in a few minutes. The searching ceremony is a big deal to my mother, he says. I mean, she thinks of it as a holy day. She met my father at it. Probably explains a lot about how she reacted to me, Stiles says, and Derek gives a little nod. Talia walks over a few moments later and focuses on Stiles. Thank you for cooking today, Stiles, she says. It was very thoughtful of you. No problem, Stiles says, though it comes out as boom, because he shoved a huge chunk of meat in his mouth just before she arrived so he wouldn't have to talk to her. Cora shakes her head at him and says, Mom, this is Stiles' best friend Scott and his girlfriend Allison. They met at the searching ceremony this year. Talia's gaze turns from polite indifference to keen interest, and she smiles at the two teenagers. You two are very lucky, she says. I'm sure you'll make each other very happy. But, you know, no pressure, Stiles mumbles around his steak. Fortunately, Talia can't quite make out what he's saying. She chats with them for a few minutes before going to say hello to other people. Man, is there anyone your mother doesn't like more than me? Your former history teacher, Derek says, partly because it's true, and partly to remind Stiles that Talia had stuck up for him when it counted. Stiles lets out a snort. Fair. He boosts himself up off of Derek's lap. Gonna go for seconds. You want anything? Yeah, grab me a lemonade, Derek says, and Stiles jogs in the direction of the food and drinks. He's pleased to note that there's still some steak and ribs left, so obviously he had brought enough, maybe even too much. There's something to be said for overplanning. He stops to say hi to Laura and gripe at her about how sore he was after their last training session, before heading back to the others. He comes back to hear the tail end of Scott's sentence, which is, He'll totally love it, trust me. I'll totally love what? Stiles asks, dropping back into Derek's lap. It's a surprise, Derek says, rubbing a hand up and down Stiles' spine, slow and easy. Then he says, I mean, if you don't like surprises, if you want me to... No, it's cool, Stiles says. If Scott says I'll like it, I will, he adds, leaning over to give Scott a fist bump. Scott grins at him, which is assurance enough that he will, in fact, totally love whatever Derek has in mind. Want to toss a frisbee around? Allison asks when they're done eating. Do you love watching me fail? Scott responds. Yes, she says, smiling at him. It's adorable. Frisbee it is, then, he says, and Stiles gives a snort of laughter. Stiles and Derek are put on opposite sides of the circle, since otherwise they'll be too busy making hard eyes at each other to play. And Scott proves to be a lot better at throwing than at catching, but overall they have a pretty good time. A stiff breeze kicks up about halfway through, which keeps things interesting. Stiles is terrible at aiming and blames the wind. Allison, of course, is amazing at it. How can one be that good at freaking frisbee? Stiles complains, and she just laughs. He's just leapt for a toss that went only somewhere near him, and turns to see where the flying disc has gone. He nearly jumps out of his skin to find Peter standing right behind him, holding the frisbee out. Jesus, I really am going to put a bell on you, he says. Did you get any of the steak, Uncle P? Peter shakes his head. His gaze is a little distant, and he's using his right hand to turn his wedding ring around on his finger. I wasn't hungry, he says. Oh, Stiles says, not sure what to make of this comment. Derek, seeing the tension in his shoulders, starts walking over. The others, probably assuming that the game has been put on hold, are heading over as well. Stiles takes the frisbee from him, but then says, You want to join the game? You should be on my team to counteract how much I suck. Peter shakes his head a little. No, he's frowning. Something's wrong. Wrong how? Stiles says, and Peter only shakes his head again. You haven't met Scott. He's my bestie. And this is his girlfriend, Allison. Nice to... Allison gets out before Peter snarls. She can't be here, he says, his eyes flaring bright blue. Peter, what? Styles starts, and Derek is already stepping forward defensively, moving between Peter and the others, every muscle in his back and shoulders tight with tension. She can't be here. She's an enemy, Peter says, and his face is shifting now, teeth lengthening, but then Talia is there. She moves faster than the eye can see. It looks like smoke to Styles, the way she blurs in his vision. Then Peter's on the ground with one arm behind his back, the blue fading out of his eyes. Derek's got an arm around Styles' shoulders and is ushering the group of them away. About 5 minutes later, while Styles is still trying to offer explanations to a very confused Allison, Cora trots around the house.
"Yeah, it's okay," she says. "Dad is taking Peter to, somewhere else. I don't know where. He's just getting him out of here." To Allison, she adds, "Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, it's not like he did anything to me," Allison says.
"Well, most people would freak out after seeing something like that," Cora says.
"I'm not most people," Allison says. Scott gives her a look of undying devotion. So does Styles, for that matter. "Come on, let's go back to the party. We haven't had dessert yet." They head back around the house and grab some brownies and iced tea. But Styles breaks off from the group and looks for Talia. This will mark the first time he's ever initiated a conversation with her, or for that matter, spoken to her voluntarily. He swallows hard and says, Mrs. Hale, is Peter okay?" Talia looks at him wearily and says, "Peter is never okay, Styles. Some days are better than others. Aaron will get him calmed down."
I care about him. You know that, right?"
"I know." Talia pushes a hand through her hair. "Some days I think back. I wish I had just let him." Her voice breaks a little, and Styles realizes to his surprise that Talia is actually confiding in him, letting her guard down. "But I didn't. I couldn't. He's my brother. And now he has to live with my decision to keep him alive. And so do I." Styles has no idea what to say to that, and his mouth just works wordlessly for a few moments before Talia gets herself together.
"I'm sorry," she says. "I shouldn't have dumped that on you. Excuse me," she adds, and pushes her way back into the crowd. Styles thinks about going after her, but decides maybe he's pushed enough for one day. He heads over to the others, where Derek is looking at him, frowning in concern. He shakes his head a little. The party breaks up around 4 p.m. when the clouds carry in a storm. Styles decides to head home, because he has yet to do any of his weekend homework. He crams back in the Jeep with Allison and Scott. His own somewhat melancholy mood seems to affect them, and the drive is quiet. When he gets to Allison's house, Scott asks, "Will you be okay getting in?"
"I'll be fine," she says, with a cheeky grin, and leans over the seat to give Scott a kiss on the cheek. The scent of her perfume wafts past Styles. Lilacs.
"Jesus Christ," he says quietly, as Allison closes the door behind her.
"What?" Scott asks. Styles rounds on him more fiercely than he intends.
"Does Allison always wear that perfume?"
"What?" Scott repeats, frowning at him.
"That perfume, the lilacs, does she always wear it? Come on, don't tell me that you haven't smelled her or noticed her perfume."
"No, not that one," Scott says. "That's her favorite. She wears it for special occasions. It's really expensive, which I know because I looked it up. I thought I might get her some for our 3-month anniversary. Don't gag, I see you over there. So she borrows it from her aunt sometimes."
"Of course she does," Styles says.
"Is that important?" Scott asks. And when Styles nods, still a little too stunned to speak, he asks, why? What does it mean?"
"It means that Peter's right," Styles says. "The Hale House fire wasn't an accident, and I think I know who did it."